All right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show is one of our monthly special episodes looking at some trailers of some upcoming movies. Today we are looking at a big list, actually, of movies coming out in May 2021. There are just too many movies coming out. We couldn't narrow it down, so yeah, we're talking about a lot of them. So that is coming up in a minute. As always, Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year is here to help me break down some of these trailers. But before we get to it, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. We have been just putting out episode after episode after episode lately. So there may be some good ones that you haven't gotten a chance to check out yet. So make sure you're subscribed, check those episodes out. And yeah. Also, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget about our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I combine bonus content from Piecing It Together, from Awesome Movie Year, from my music career, from everything that I'm involved in. Lots of great bonus content and advanced content. So check it out. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. Lots of good stuff there. So other than that, hopefully we'll be getting to cover a lot of these movies in May and a bunch of other great stuff that we'll be looking at. But let's get into the conversation about what is coming soon. All right, Jason Harris is back with us to talk about some upcoming movie trailers. Jason, how's it going, man?
Dave! Ba-ba-ba-bam. You get your own sound effects, apparently. It's summer movie season by the time this bad boy drops, and May is looking like a good month of movies, so that's why I decided to play DJ for you.
There you go. I enjoy it. That music definitely gets me hyped up, gets me in the mood to do this thing. I'm excited.
I know we got to lift you up when it's talking about movies, so I'll do what I can.
That's right. Well, as we've done in the past few months here, let's take a quick look back to kick this thing off at the movies that we discussed in our last trailers episode, our April trailers, and just, you know, catch up on whether or not we saw them and what we thought. Starting off, of course, with Shiva Baby.
Yeah, we both saw Shiva Baby. I liked it. I didn't love it. I mean, it's getting so much hype, but it's good. I liked it. So... I thought it was a very good use of one location for a movie.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, I loved it. We did do an episode on it. As we continue through the rest of these, it's the only one that I actually have gotten to so far. So we'll see if you got to any of these other ones. Concrete Cowboys, did you get to that?
No, didn't get to it. Keep going.
Nobody's talking about that movie. It just seems to have come and gone, and that's it.
And that's the problem with the Netflix release sometimes, right? If it doesn't catch fire, it just moves on.
Yeah, they give it a weekend and then they move on to the next thing. So the next thing, of course, was Thunder Force, which got absolutely trashed, I think.
Yeah, I did not see it, but I did answer a question at Trivia Night with the answer Thunder Force, and that was correct. So
wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Voyagers, which also is getting kind of trash. I think I even saw people calling it like racist and its setup and stuff like that. So I don't know. Did you watch it?
No, but it's like, maybe that's how they should advertise it. Like, were we accidentally racist? You decide for yourself, you know? Yeah,
so I don't know. Maybe we'll let that one slide. Mafi is one that I'm still hoping to watch. It looks really good. I've seen a few good reviews for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's out here, is it? I mean, it's VOD or...
Yeah, I think it's in VOD. You have to rent it. But definitely seeing some good reactions to it, and I will get to it sometime soon. Just opened this weekend is Stowaway on Netflix, which is getting fairly positive reviews. Did you catch this yet?
I didn't even realize I was out yet. But,
yeah, just opened yesterday.
Because this was Mortal Kombat as the time we're recording it, which I did see, even though we didn't talk about it. Although, I don't think it would have been that hard to talk about. So
I'm sure. Yeah. The last one, still not out, comes out next weekend. We're recording this a week before the end of the month, but Without Remorse, which I know you're looking forward to. Maybe we'll end up covering it on the show. We'll see.
You know, Dave, we go through so many previews, you're going to have to even remind me of what that one is. So.
Michael B. Jordan. What's his name?
Bang, 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 bang. Shoot up everyone. Yeah, I'm down with that. So.
Yeah, it looks
But fun. I mean, for people who don't know, we basically watch every preview of what's coming out for the next month before we choose. So while prepping for this, we watched probably 10, 15 previews, so I'm sorry if I don't remember everything by name, but I am excited for Without Remorse, yes.
Yeah, it looks fun. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of stuff coming out in May. It was hard to narrow this one down. I think we're doing more than we've ever done in one month before here, so let's start getting into them. Starting off with Mainstream from Gia Coppola. It's coming out May 7th in theaters. Stars Andrew Garfield as a social media influencer, and things go really crazy over the top. It looks like very heavily stylized as his life kind of spins out of control while trying to get those followers and likes going up and everything. This is a very interesting, unique looking story. What'd you think about this one?
Way excited. I liked Palo Alto a lot. Her first movie. I think it was her first movie. Did you see that one?
I did. Yeah. I think it is her first movie, but yeah, it's really good.
I mean, usually if it's got a last name Coppola, it's at least worth paying attention to, right?
Sure.
So, this looks very of the moment, very young, you know, very in tune with today. So I'm excited for this one. I will give you my puzzle pieces, which were pop star, never stop believing, because I think playing with the idea of form and fame and social media, that movie did it really well. The idea of being watched or wanting to watch or wanting to be seen, I picked The Truman Show.
Okay, sure.
And then the last one I picked was because of the obsession with a social media personality, a movie I know you liked more than I did, Ingrid Goes West.
Sure, yeah. I love that movie so much. And yeah, I think that could definitely work as a piece here. I really like The Truman Show as a piece, definitely. I'm going to go with Spring Breakers for just that, like, over-the-top youth culture where you're watching it as an old man and just thinking, God, these kids, you know? And then also Scott Pilgrim versus the World, because there seems to be a lot of, like, very heavy stylization, a lot of kind of, like, gaming and computer and tech influence where things kind of mess around with, like, the magical realism and stuff like that in there. But overall, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think Andrew Garfield's kind of been on a roll lately. I like pretty much everything I've seen him in, and
what have you seen him in lately that he's been on in a role?
I love him in Silence. I love him in what's it called? Drawing a blank right now on the name under the Silver Lake. Yeah, yeah, I love him in that. And there was another thing too. Oh, the Mel Gibson movie, which I think he's absolutely great in, Hacksaw Ridge. So
I didn't see that one. So
yeah.
It's tough for me to move on from Spider-Man, even though it was 8 years ago that he did it.
I know. Yeah, that's just a mess all around. But he's good.
He is good. I agree with that. And Dave, you mentioned Spring Breakers, which is fun. Not a piece, but the follow-up to Spring Breakers, The Beach Bum. Highly recommend. One of my favorite movies of the year it came out.
Love it. Yeah. Love The Beach Bum. Absolutely. So let's move on to Wrath of Man, coming to theaters May 7th. All really needs to be said about this one, Guy Ritchie and Jason Statham back together. I can't freaking wait. I'm sure you can't either.
I know. This wasn't on the original list, and I demanded it because this is like, you know, we've kind of said that we're like all in on these like bang, bang, shoot 'em ups, you know, and this looks like a return to form. Although Guy Ritchie's been on a roll lately, hasn't he?
So I liked his last movie a lot.
Yeah, The Gentleman was good, but this looks like more vicious even, you know, so... and Statham, this is what I want to see Jason Statham do. Just murder and kill and fight. And that's it. And, you know, be somewhat sarcastic. So this looks, I think this might be my number one pick for the entire month of things I'm looking forward to.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, I picked, a very underrated Jason Statham movie called The Bank Job, where they're breaking into a bank. Because this is dealing with robberies and robbing armored trucks and stuff. And I thought that this would be not only connected, but a good point, a good way to bring up that movie, which again, highly recommend if you haven't seen it. And the other movie I picked was just out, the first movie I've seen in a theater since vaccination, Nobody Bob Odenkirk because it just looks like people is going to get effed up and daddy is happy.
Which, by the way, I am so excited to watch. I'm gonna watch it tomorrow, I think. I cannot wait to finally get to that.
I keep telling you to go.
I know. I don't know why. Godzilla vs. Kong took all my time for this past week, but now it's time. Now it's happening. But yeah, definitely good pieces there. I would just go, you know, Guy Ritchie just kind of giving us what we want is kind of a puzzle piece in itself here, like kind of going back to the well of classic Guy Ritchie. I'd also, of course, go with John Wick, which is a puzzle piece, I think, for nobody. But, you know, this hitman badass dude, you know, being wronged by his organization and then he's going to fuck everybody up, you know. So, yeah, I mean, those are my pieces. Very simple premise, very simple pieces here, but looks like a lot of freaking fun.
Yeah, one other movie I'm thinking about that I liked and you didn't was Widows, which sure. kind of deals in this heist genre in a darker tone. So yeah, that's where I'm at with this. But yeah, I think, is this the one you're most looking forward to this month or for May?
I would say probably, yeah. Yeah, I would say this and the one we just talked about, Mainstream, are probably the two that I'm looking the most forward to. So let's move on to The Paper Tigers, which is one that I didn't even see anything about until we started prepping for this, but coming out in theaters and VOD on May 7th, about three retired martial arts masters who have to get back together and fight again, and looks kind of fun. What did you think about this?
Yeah, I requested that we put this one on because we never see this angle on it, you know, where it's like three guys in their 50s who are like, oh, we're broken down and now we have to go avenge our master's death or whatnot. And it does look fun. And I'm glad that there are audiences, you know, for everything like this. You know, this seems like something that back in the day they'd be like, no, three 50-year-olds and no one's white in it. How are we going to make right. this movie, right? But this looks like it will be a blast. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this was because an awesome movie year in 1984 on our foreign film, we covered Meals on Wheels with the three brothers of Hong Kong action cinema in the in the 80s, and you know, and how huge these guys were, and that was Jackie Chan and Sammo Hung and Yung Biao. And I think, like, wow, imagine if these guys teamed up again today, right
so, yeah,
that would be pretty cool. The other movies I picked, one was recent, about a group of badasses who had to get back together to go on a different type of quest, and that was The Five Bloods, which sure. I really loved last year. And then lastly, whenever I think of old curmudgeons doing things they're not supposed to, I come back to Space Cowboys and Clint Eastwood go to space with an angry attitude.
That was a strange Clint Eastwood, I gotta say.
But I feel like it moved more to Liam Neeson. Maybe I need to hear him talk, but
yeah.
Maybe that's just angry old man no matter what it is.
Well, I had The Five Bloods and Space Cowboys on my list, but I'll also throw in there Expendables, a bunch of these old guys getting back together to do it one more time. One thing, though, I was wondering if maybe you know, I mean, you don't have to know, I don't need you to research this kind of thing for this, but are these guys like really well-known people within the martial arts world or not? Or is this like kind of made up?
Don't know and didn't research it.
Yeah, maybe if we cover the actual movie when it comes out, we'll find that out. But yeah, I wasn't sure about that going into this trailer, whether or not these guys, you know, are big names in the martial arts world. But I guess we'll find that out when we watch the movie. So let's move on to May 12th. On Netflix, it's called Oxygen. Alexandra Aja, his new film, Aja? I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but starring Melanie Laurent. Netflix does a lot of these spaceship movies lately. I don't know what it is. I think we had two.
Remember?
Yeah, we had two last month.
It seems like we're covering at least one a month on this. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they just like have a whole stockpile of spaceship parts and they just reconfigure them into new settings to put these movies together in. But it looks like an interesting take on the premise. She's like stuck in this confined space and has no idea how she got there on this spaceship. And looks pretty interesting. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, if we can talk about a foreign film, I'd like to, you know. So I'm not sure how... Alexandra Aja gets like a credit above the line, like not just above the line because he's the director, but like from Alexander Aja.
I know,
maker
right?
Of Piranha 3D, you know?
Piranha 3D did rule though.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It just seems weird. But this seems like he's moving more towards like a very mind fucky suspense genre as opposed to just straight scares and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked good to me, you know? So basically, this woman wakes up trapped in like a spaceship, which is kind of like Stowaway, which we talked about last month. Although she's like trapped in just like a capsule and we don't know why or what's going on. And, you know, there's an AI that she's able to communicate with, that she's able to give commands to. And like one of the first things we see is the AI say, "I'm sorry, I'm not able to process that command." And I'm like, 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's Hal, right?
Sure. You know?
So that was the first one. And then I thought of Buried, the Ryan Reynolds movie where he's buried alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I thought of, which I just watched on Hulu, is a limited series, Alex Garland's Devs, which I think you watched also, right?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, intermingling of AI, technology, humanity, and how to extend life beyond our human limits.
There you go. Yeah, no, Devs is awesome. 2001, of course, you know, when you get that kind of like AI computer thing talking to you and not doing what you want it to. I had Buried on my list as well, a movie that I don't even remember if I actually saw, but I mean, who doesn't remember Buried, Ryan Reynolds getting buried alive? And she is, you know, stuck in this confined space. So I think it's definitely a good parallel there. The other one that I would add to the list would be, not to telegraph our next movie we're going to talk about, but the original Saw, the first one where, you know, this guy wakes up in this room and has absolutely no idea how he got there or how he's going to get himself out of it, and was a great setup for a really good movie that then kind of went down a very different direction with the sequels, but we'll talk about that more in a second. But yeah, this movie looks pretty good, and like I said, I really do like Piranha 3D, so I'm down for what this guy's got. Didn't he also do Crawl, I think, which that's a really fun movie.
Yeah. Do you still think he gets the from Alexander Aja or
sure, why not? Yeah. Let's give it to him.
Yeah. All right, sure. I mean, this looks good. I think it's going to be fun. Netflix has really kind of leaned into this sci-fi, you know, I like to call it mindfuck genre, right?
Sure.
But, like, especially from, like, foreign directors and movies from other countries, they're really going into that. And that's how you find something like The Platform, which, you know, really kind of catches fire or whatnot. Or everyone says Ares, which I haven't seen yet, and I don't know if I pronounced right, but yeah, so these are like the gems we're looking out for.
As long as it's not like The Midnight Sky, but let's move on.
Yes, from foreign director George Clooney.
Yes, that's right. So next up, like I just hinted at, is May 14th coming to theaters. It is Spiral from the Book of Saw, which I thought was supposed to be directed by Chris Rock, but I guess I got that wrong. But just starring Chris Rock and also Samuel L. Jackson.
Exec produced by Chris Rock.
It's a sort of reboot, sort of continuation of the whole Saw series, which is just, you know, if you love this series, you love it. If you don't, like me, you just absolutely think it's dreadful. I checked out, like, literally halfway through this third one, I think, and never went back. But what do you think of this series, and what do you think about this trailer?
The first one I saw, and you know what everyone did, right?
Yeah.
Liked it, but I didn't. I don't know if I might have seen the first sequel, but after that, I was, again, you know, you're watering it down, and you know, just the law of diminishing returns. But this, I think, is a little different, right? We're moving into the black horror genre, which obviously Jordan Peele reignited. And it's good to see this variety out there, you know, and kind of focused on this is a great month. Look at all the different ethnicities that are starring in all these, you know, movies that we're talking about. It used to just be like, what white guy and what white guy, you know?
Definitely.
And
like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. So, that said, I don't really care to see this movie, though.
Yeah, I know. So,
but I'm glad there's a variety of movies. I remember summer used to be like, okay, it's a superhero movie. Okay, it's another, you know, franchise movies. So I'm glad we're getting a variety of different types of movies and a variety of actors and ethnicities and storytellers. And that's important to me, you know? So, you know, obviously the one of the first things you see in the preview is Chris Rock, who plays the detective, is sent a box from the killer. It says, open this box, and it's like 777, right?
Sure.
Like you immediately think seven when you see this, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know, it is, this is probably an easy puzzle piece, although I don't know how many people remember this movie, but it is about a copycat killer. So there was a movie in the 90s, Copycat, with Sigourney Weaver and Holly Hunter. And I think this is when Harry Connick Jr. was going to be a big actor. And, you know, he was, you know, and it was all about finding a copycat killer. So I just wanted to bring something, although maybe obvious because of the wording, a little lesser known because of the nobody remembers it.
Sure. Absolutely. And I feel like there was a bunch of movies in the late 90s that dealt with copycat killers. Like that was like a thing. Like I think maybe that was even one of the Scream movies was like the big setup was that it was
right. They were copying the first killer from Scream. That was very meta of them. Didn't Kevin Bacon do a show where he was like, you know, copycat killer too? I don't remember.
Probably. But yeah, definitely seven was on my list. Also, last year's terrible The Little Things was on my list as well. It just feels like it's kind of got the same similar vibe of that just like super ultra serious detective.
That's
with
Denzel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Dave, that's this year.
Was that this year?
Yeah.
This is a strange year. This is like a weirder year than last year. Everyone talks about 2020, the weirdest year because of the pandemic. This year's weirder, I feel like. I don't know.
No, you're just making excuses.
Well, the other piece I was going to use, I know it's cheap to look back at the series that the movie is of, but I was going to go to Saw 2 because that's when the series was a detective thing. Like, the first one, like we just talked about with the previous movie we were talking about there, is a very different thing. This guy waking up in a place and can't get out. It's a one location thing. It's a more of a just a weird indie mystery kind of thing. But then it became a detective thing, and then it became this just torture porn thing from Saw 4 through 9 or however many more there's been at that point. But Saw 2 and then I think 3 as well, maybe for a little bit, were just straight up detective stories. And so I feel like they're kind of like going back to the well to that portion of Saw's history for this one.
Maybe that's a good idea, you know, because it, like you said, you're touching on a known franchise and bringing it back to maybe a more beloved version of it, but you're bringing in new characters and new stories, so that could be a good thing. So
yeah, absolutely. So next up, May 14th on Netflix, it is The Woman in the Window, starring Amy Adams and Julianne Moore and Brian Tyree Henry. This is actually from Joe Wright, which it doesn't look like it's a Joe Wright film, but hey, you know, he's great. But this is a movie with a kind of storied history. It was supposed to come out in theaters, I believe, 2 years ago and just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and then Netflix picked it up. It is about this agoraphobic woman who sees something happen outside her house and can't do anything about it. And it's a kind of similar premise to a bunch of other movies. But what do you think about this one?
Yeah, man. I mean, Joe Wright, dude, Atonement and Hannah and Pride and Prejudice. Like, Joe Wright's awesome. He makes, even if you don't like the movies, the way he moves the camera is incredible. Anna Karenina, you know.
Sure.
So... but I didn't know all that, so that's disappointing because it sounds like it's not going to be good.
Right.
Also, could Amy Adams and Jenna Fisher be twins? Like, I was like, is Jenna Fisher starring in this movie? You know,
right.
So, like you said, on the obvious side of things, Rear Window, Hitchcock. You know, I'm stuck in the house. I can't do anything. On the very, very less obvious side, there's a character like that in this incredible Icelandic miniseries called Trapped, which is on Amazon Prime. It's from about 2015-16. There's two seasons of it, and I highly recommend it. And keeping with the less obvious side, Julianne Moore, I go back to her work with Todd Haynes in the 90s, I think, where she did Safe, where she played a woman who thought everything could hurt her and, you know, was kind of had to live in that bubble type thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. Yeah, Rear Window, of course. And then a movie very, very much inspired by Rear Window, Disturbio, with Shia LaBeouf. Those were the main ones. And I think they're the very much obvious ones. The other one I would throw in there is the Emily Blunt film, The Girl on the Train, with the woman who, you know, people think is crazy. And I don't really remember how the plot of that movie exactly unfolded, but it's kind of has the same similar feel for it. And that seems to be almost like the opposite of the everybody gets a John Wick, you know, everybody gets the woman who everyone thinks is crazy kind of movie.
All right. Maybe we can combine the two.
Yeah, right. I could see that happening. Well, I'm going to butcher some names here because next up is Profile from Timur Bekmambetov. Is that, I have no idea how you say his name, but of course he directed Wanted and a bunch of other movies. But coming out May 14th, theaters and VOD. It's one of these Screen Life type of films. It's about a journalist who uses social media to infiltrate some radical militant extremists, but along the way runs the risk of becoming one of them. Looks kind of interesting. These kind of movies are very hit or miss, but hopefully it'll be a good one.
Yeah, but this guy's awesome because he's like kind of at the forefront of this. And I remember when kind of lockdown started, he was like requesting scripts and like from people, and like he was trying to make and I think he probably did make this during lockdown, right? You know,
yeah.
So he's always just trying to work the form and the technology, and like he's pushing film forward in a totally different way. You know,
yeah. So absolutely.
Eventually, Dave, you'll have to learn his name, which I can't correct you because I don't really know how to say it either. So, I mean, did he direct, either directed or exec produced Searching, which was the first one I'm sure we both had, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and he didn't direct it. He was an executive producer on it, but did not direct it.
Yeah, so now this one is about, so obviously that's where you talk about the screen life and everything's going back on the two screens. And this is interesting because it's a Western white woman who's trying to, like you said, infiltrate a terrorist cell in the Middle East, and all you're seeing it is on their two screens. And then does she fall for him, you know, or is she kind of cat and mousing him? We don't really know, but it does look interesting. That brought me right back to the first two seasons of Homeland.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, Claire Danes is security expert for the U.S. and she's got to track Brody, who was a soldier and then was turned, they say, you know, and was he turned? Wasn't he turned? What is he going to do? You know, is he a terrorist now? And then I'm in the middle of this podcast that came out last year called I Am Not a Monster. And I'm just trying to pick some cool different puzzle pieces. This is about a woman who married a man who was Middle Eastern, and he moved the whole family to Syria and then kind of indoctrinated them into ISIS, I'm pretty sure. And like he had a 9-year-old stepson. The episode I'm on is like this 9-year-old stepson is like was like the first Western kid who was used in an ISIS propaganda video. Like, you know, this is my message for the president. If you come here, we will destroy you, all that stuff. So
yeah, that podcast sounds really interesting. And of course, Searching, Homeland, I had thought about. I was trying to think of a movie that like deals with that, you know, situation of infiltrating the, you know, going undercover kind of in that the Middle East. But I couldn't really think of a good one. So yeah, Homeland, I think, would be the good one for that.
Well, I can throw out a few just off the, I mean, we could always name like a Zero Dark 30, right?
So, sure, sure.
Wasn't the Mauritanian the one that was just out, something along those lines?
I think so, and I still haven't seen it.
And then what? There was a Natalie Portman movie from a few years ago, which I forget what it was called, where her husband comes back, but they don't like, it's called like Redacted or something like
yeah.
that, right? And that, but they won't let him re-enter society without interrogating him or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I forgot about that movie, but yeah, you're right. That definitely could fit in there as well. And then the last one I was going to put in there is Catfish, because it seems like there's a lot of, you know, playing with identities here and, you know, who is what they say they are. And, you know, when mixing that with technology, you get catfish. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to our two big blockbusters of the month coming out. May 21st on Netflix, hopefully in theaters too, because how can you not want to watch a Zack Snyder movie in the theaters? It's Army of the Dead. Zack Snyder's big movie getting out of the whole DC superhero world, and instead going back to zombies like he did in his Dawn of the Dead remake. And of course, set here in Las Vegas, it is about a bunch of criminals led by Dave Bautista who are going to try to rob Las Vegas during a zombie invasion. What do you think about this?
It looks good. It looks fun. Doesn't look like Las Vegas at all, as we know. So
yeah,
I don't
not
know,
even
shoot
bit.
Any of it here. Who knows?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so I do believe Dave Bautista. It's funny that maybe the three biggest action stars right now are all former WWE world champions, right?
Yeah.
Bautista as three, Cena as two, and The Rock as number one.
You know? I wonder if Vince McMahon gets a little cut of that every time.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, you know, that former women's champion Sasha Banks was on The Mandalorian this season. So maybe we're going to get some good women-led action movies from these WWE stars, too.
Could happen. Could happen. Yeah. Speaking of women, did you notice that Tig Notaro is digitally replacing Chris D'Elia or whatever?
I know the story of it. Yeah, I didn't see any of her lines. I mean, I saw her face in the preview, but that's pretty much about it. I knew that he was replacing him with her, but I don't really know much beyond that about the process of how he did it.
That's wild. Absolutely wild.
Is that he just digitally overlaid her?
So. Yeah, I mean, Zack Snyder in effects, you know, he could do whatever. So
yeah, because I remember when, you know, the whole thing with Kevin Spacey broke, and then there was that movie that he was in, and then was it Ridley Scott, right? All those scenes, but they reshot all those scenes.
Right, they actually reshot it. I think maybe digitally in a few spots, but yeah.
That was with Christopher Plummer, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but...
All the Money in the World.
There you go. So Dave, I'll leave the most obvious Las Vegas bank heist one to you, you know? So, because I think that's probably the first on both of our lists there. But... the look and the feel of this kind of reminded me of Logan, which I love, you know, kind of like these guys who are broken down in Vegas, you know, there were those casino scenes in Logan and it's like, what horrid city are we in right now? And that's kind of how they make this look. If I was going to recommend a zombie movie recently, World War Z, where it's kind of like the zombies are working together. That's kind of the thing here. And the last one I wanted to recommend or put as a puzzle piece, which, again, maybe people don't know about, a very cool Dave Bautista action movie called Bushwick, which we might have talked about before, but basically, like, the government enforces martial law in Bushwick in Brooklyn, and it's up to, like, Dave Bautista and Brittany Snow to, like, escape, and it's all shot. It's supposed to look like Birdman, where it's all one continuous shot. And when I saw that, I was like, man, Bautista's good, dude. He can go.
I gotta watch that before this comes out. That sounds pretty fun. Yeah, as for the casino, just not looking like Vegas. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why they couldn't try. But, of course, Ocean's 11 with, you know, that has to be in there. Also, I do not like World War Z. I thought it was kind of terrible. I also am not that big of a fan of 28 Days Later, but I think both of those movies put together are at least, I guess, attempting to push the zombie genre forward in a way, make zombies do new things, make them have new characteristics, which I think this movie definitely is trying to do. I mean, we even have a zombie tiger, and I think I read the other day there's going to be robot zombies in it. So I guess, you know.
Exciting.
Yeah, we're trying new things with zombies. So, you know, the zombie genre is something I loved so freaking much back when I was a teenager. And nowadays, it just seems like it's completely run out of steam. I guess his Dawn of the Dead was the last one that I truly liked. And so maybe he'll be able to recapture something. I don't know.
Well, I got to disagree with you on 28 Days Later. I love that movie, man.
I know people love it. I love Alex Garland, you know, wrote it, but
Danny Boyle.
Yeah, I love Danny Boyle, but I don't know. The movie just never really did that much for me. I think I was just already burnt out on zombies at that point.
I think that might be one that's worth a rewatch for you.
Because maybe.
You know what that did that was so different was really dealt with the psychology and the mentality, and it was this slow burn. And it wasn't like jump scare. It was like really like kept you in your mind and on the edge of your seat, so to speak. Hold on to your butts. It was one of those.
Well, speaking of hold on to your butts, I'm going to go with one last puzzle piece here because it's a movie I love and nobody else really seems to like. It's called The Hurricane Heist. Did you see that movie, Jason?
No, but I love the idea of it. Are they pulling off a heist in a hurricane?
Exactly. Fantastic. That's exactly what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. But the similar like insert. It's like Mad Libs. It's like do a heist during a blank, you know? And so here we get a zombie invasion. There it was during a hurricane. It makes for like a really good B movie kind of setup.
You know what? I'm surprised you didn't bring up, Dave, because I know you love all the new ones, are the Planet of the Apes series, the idea of the, you know, kind of the opposition, which are not humans, working together to overtake society.
Yeah, there you go. I would love to see there be some Planet of the Apes influence in this. I really want this movie to be good. I want it to be fun. We will see. And hopefully they do some theatrical screenings. I know Netflix has been, kind of opening up a little bit more lately with putting their movies at least for a week or two in theaters. So we will see, especially now that we're back to going to the movies. But the last one we got on our list coming out May 28th in theaters and on Disney Plus is Cruella. The origin story of Cruella from the 101 Dalmatians films, as if we actually needed that, but it does look like it could be fun. And Emma Stone is always great, and she plays Cruella. What'd you think about this one?
It looks great. It looks super fun, man. So yeah. Come on, I'm way in on that. And Emma Thompson, right? Also?
Yeah, she's in it, directed by Craig Gillespie, who, what did he do recently? I, Tonya. Yeah, which was great.
The Real Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so much of it is on fashion and an evil boss lady or a mean boss lady running a fashion industry, Devil Wears Prada right off the bat.
Sure.
Right? Two, origin story of a character we later learn, you know, or recognize as a villain. I picked Maleficent. Mm-hmm. And three, sure, Craig Gillespie directed it. But did he really, or was it Baz Luhrmann in disguise? Because this looks like it could be any Baz Luhrmann movie. I'll say Moulin Rouge, but you could pick any of them. It really does look like a Baz Luhrmann film.
Yeah, it kind of does. Absolutely. I think I could totally see that. And it looks very big, just very huge and big and over the top. So that's got Baz Luhrmann all over it. Devil's Wears Prada is great as a piece here. And Maleficent is also on my list as well. I mean, I'm sure that if this does well, we're going to see these for every big Disney villain. But I mean, hey, they're fun movies, I suppose, the Maleficent movies. And this one should be. I'll also throw in there, of course, Joker. This is female Joker, 100%. I know people push back against Promising Young Woman being a female Joker. This really is a female Joker. And then the real female Joker, Harley Quinn, the Birds of Prey, got to throw that one in there as well.
Well, Dave, here's my question. If this is a female Joker, are there going to be a lot of white incel females who are going to relate to this character?
I they're probably out there. I mean, why not, Jason? Why not? Well, we got a lot of movies to look forward to in May. Obviously, like I said, there's so many other ones that we could have covered here, but I think that's enough for us to look at. I don't know. I think that's about does it for looking at May movies, though. Any other closing thoughts you wanted to bring up?
No, here? I mean, I'm looking at this list of ones that we didn't cover, and there's at least three more that I'm excited to see. So May is a big month, and it should be fun not just to hear which ones we like, but to hear which ones other people like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jason, as always, thank you so much for doing this. And you know, hopefully we're going to get you back to cover one of the actual movies we talked about here soon. But why don't you tell people what's going on Awesome Movie Year?
Awesome Movie Year. We are currently in the latter half of our season on 2003, which, if you do not remember, is all about Return of the King, Lord of the Rings. There's also some other great movies out there. We just covered American Splendor. We've done The Station Agent. Lots of cool little indies that you might not have seen or might not have seen in a long time that are worth revisiting, plus some big ones. So yeah, I definitely think this was a good season for Awesome Movie Year. I recommend listening to it. You can always find us on social media, awesomemovieyear.com, Awesome Movie Year Facebook and Instagram, Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter. I'm Jason Harris Comedy on Facebook and Instagram, J Harris Comedy on Twitter. Go for jason.com. Zack Snyder zombies have eaten my website, I hope, and replaced it. Maybe Dave Bautista will make me a new website.
That would be very nice. Put it out there into the universe and maybe it'll happen.
He's a man of many talents.
You got 5 seconds to tell me where you buried the loot.
Oh, man, it's great. They got film reviews, recommendations, special guest games. Hey, calm down. It's there on Spotify and Google Podcast. I mean, it's easy. Thief's Monthly Movie Loot. Check it out.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming out in May. Lots of great stuff to look forward to. Thank you, as always, to Jason Harris for joining me on that one. And make sure that you are listening to Awesome Movie Year, which is finishing up its season on the films of 2003, and we will be moving on to the next season very, very soon. So check out that show wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is you're listening to podcasts. The subscriptions make sure that everybody gets all the new episodes. I don't know what I'm rambling about here, but make sure you're subscribed. Also, if you really like what we do here on Piecing It Together, make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. You could also share the show with your friends, which is always just the best, most helpful thing that you can do. Really gets the show in front of new people, and that is what we're always trying to do here, trying to continue to grow this thing and get more and more people listening. So make sure to share the show. Also, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, and send us your comments and feedback. You can check out piecingpod.com to get in touch with me, but I always love hearing from people, so definitely get in touch. So let's close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do, and I am going to just randomly jump to my fourth album, A Different Kind of Dream. I did not pick a song ahead of time. Let's see, what should I play? I'm going to go with a track called Regenerate, because I need to regenerate some energy right now, because I have just been kind of burning the candle at both ends the past month or so, and I need to re-energize myself a little bit. So here's the track Regenerate. It's from my album A Different Kind of Dream. Enjoy this, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming up real soon. We'll be right back.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.